We're reading God's word from Matthew chapter 6 as we continue through the Lord's Prayer. We're focusing on Matthew chapter 6 verse 12, but I'll read the whole thing. And then we'll also read Matthew chapter 18 verses 21 through 35. But first, Matthew chapter 6. This is God's word. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then chapter 18, starting at verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Amen. Let's pray and ask God's help with his word. Our Lord and God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our minds and our hearts, making us to know all of those things which belong to us in Jesus Christ. In his name and for his glory we pray. Amen. Well, as we come to this petition, forgive us our debts as we also forgive those who are debtors to us. I think it's one of the hardest petitions, if we could say there's a hardest one. It's one of the hardest petitions to truly pray. Here, I think, the gospel really hits home for us. It cuts deep to the heart. Jesus uses some of his strongest language in almost the entire New Testament for those who do not forgive people who sin against them. It's almost shocking, isn't it? We read in chapter 6 and then again in chapter 18, very strong words for those who do not forgive their debtors. It's shocking, isn't it? I won't be forgiven if I don't forgive. It cuts to our hearts. It cuts to our hearts because we know all so often that we have unforgiving hearts, that we hold wrongs done against us so tightly as precious wounds, that we hold bitterness and cling to it. But it also hits home because every time that we pray this, we are saying and that we are reminded that we fail God. that we sin directly against him. It's an ugly reminder to us, really. I spilt coffee on one of my favorite books, and all along the side, every time I open it, I see this massive coffee stain. It's an ugly reminder of my clumsiness. I just threw the coffee cup over. It's an ugly reminder. This is, in a certain way, an ugly reminder to us, but it's a necessary reminder. It's a gospel reminder that we are sinners, that we need forgiveness, that we're helpless and without hope, without forgiveness. And so it cuts to our hearts. How could God possibly forgive me? But it's more than that. How could God forgive us? Because we pray, forgive us our debts. We pray that God would forgive us. And we acknowledge that we are all in need of forgiveness. We are all in need of forgiveness. And that must shape not only our relationship to God, but our relationship with one another. Because we are sinners. We will sin against God and we will sin against each other. We see so clearly here the complete dependence we have on God's mercy alone. That only he can enable us to pray this prayer. And he does that by drawing us to himself. By drawing us to himself, by drawing us to his grace and to his mercy alone. And he shows us Jesus Christ. And that is a glorious thing. He gives us here a heavenly perspective. Our perspectives are so often so small, so focused on ourselves, really, right? But here we're drawn to have a heavenly perspective. To say our debts to each other, the wrongs that we commit to each other, are absolutely nothing compared to the debt that we owe to God. It's that heavenly perspective that we give us. And it gives us the perspective that when the gospel grips our hearts, it should drive us to seek forgiveness and to forgive others. So I want to focus on four things that this petition teaches us. And the first is that you are a debtor to God. The Bible speaks of sin in a lot of ways, and we need to pay careful attention to all the ways that it speaks about sin. It speaks about sin as law-breaking. God sets his law there, and we break it. Sin is also deviation, that there is this path that we're supposed to walk, and we're always going off it. Just like we rebel against the GPS, we always rebel against that holy and righteous way that God sets out. And sin is rebellion. It is a direct counter, a direct shaking of the fist to God and his ways. It's also falling short. God sets the standard, and we completely fall short. We cannot reach that standard that God has given us. But Jesus here speaks of sin as debt. And so it's important to pay attention to what he's saying there. Debt is when you owe someone something, right? And so when he speaks of sin as debt, it means that we owe God. That we owe God complete, total, and tireless devotion and loyalty. We are to love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves every day, all day. We owe God that. And sin here, as it's spoken of as debt, is simply a failure to pay God. When he says that we are debtors, he's saying that we fail to pay God what we owe him. James 4 says that the one who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And that is what we're talking about here with debt. We owe God. And it's important to think of sin in that way, and we don't often do that. When you think about all of the things that you owe God in your speech, in your thoughts, in your actions, we owe God perfect obedience all the time. We are to love him with all of our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. And so our debt is great. And that's what we read of in this parable Jesus tells to Peter. We see that our debt is very great. The servant owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, to put that into a little perspective, 10,000 talents, well, first, one talent was 6,000 denarii. One denarii was one day's pay. Not going to do that math for you, but I have some other math for you. For the servant to pay this debt, he would have had to work 164,383 years. Now, when Jesus was telling this parable in that day, it would have struck its hearers with complete shock. It's just mind-blowing what 10,000 talents is. To put it in our modern-day money, with the average salary, the debt would have been $7,757,142,854.86. None of you are in debt that much. Some of you may be in debt a little bit. None of you are in debt that much. What is the point Jesus is making here? The point is that our debt to God is infinite. We have sinned against the infinite God. We owe him perfect obedience, and our debt to him is incalculable. It just cannot even be put into numbers here. We are born in debt. That alone is enough, being born into debt, isn't it? That's a terrible thought, to think that your parents, your generations before you accrued this massive amount of debt and you're just born into it. We are born into debt, and we continually through our lives add to that debt. Each one of us is a debtor to God, and we are powerless to pay. It's an amount that is far too great for us. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, does not leave us in that state. Secondly, God is eager. He is eager to forgive us our sins. Hypothetical child, let's say, one that I don't know, when he was a child, kicked a soccer ball against a newly made fence in a lawn that I don't know, and it broke this newly made fence that had just been painted by this person's dad. And this person refused to go to my dad to tell him about it. I knew that I was in the wrong. I knew that I had done this terrible thing, and I didn't want to go. Even if I knew my dad would have forgiven me, right? There's that hesitation to go when we know we've done wrong. But sometimes I think that we come to God as if he's unwilling to forgive us. As if he's that parent who's gonna be extremely mean, not understanding, cruel, slow to forgive. And so we hesitate to come to God. As we've seen in this prayer, God is in the heavens. He's glorious. He's majestic. He's a king, and he's set up his kingdom in Jesus Christ. He rules over all. He is sovereign over all. But he exercises that power and that sovereignty in generosity towards his children. That's what this prayer is telling us. He exercises his fatherly care in generosity to us, in compassion. In chapter 18, verse 27, and out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. God, out of pity for us, in mercy and love, forgives us our debts. He is eager to forgive us. We see this in Jesus all the time. People come up to him to ask for healing, and he forgives them their sins. People come up to him and ask him to explain what he's teaching, and he forgives them their sins. It's almost shocking. They weren't coming up to him asking to forgive him his sins. We see this in the prodigal son. The prodigal, after he realized that he's been a fool, after he's realized he's completely squandered everything his father has given him, he says that I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called a son. Just make me a servant. And so he comes to his father. And what does his father do? Runs out to him. He doesn't even allow the son to give his full confession. The only thing that the son can say is, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. And the father forgives him. The father is quick to forgive his children. He is eager to forgive us. That's why Jesus died. John 3:16, for the Father so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. There is no better proof than that Jesus Christ died than that he's eager to forgive us our sins. He's eager to. He desires that. And the whole gospel shows this. But it's not a tampering of the books. He doesn't look at our debt sheet and say, look at all of this debt. I'm just going to get some whiteout and white out some lines. Put your account in the positive. He doesn't cook the books here. It is through Jesus Christ. It is through laying our debts on him that he releases us from this debt. It's by giving us his righteousness, by giving us all of Jesus Christ's riches, that we are no longer debtors. It is by our sin being counted to him and his righteousness counted to us that we are right with God. And in forgiveness, God removes our sin. He takes it away. He covers it. He buries it by the blood of Christ, nails it to the cross, no longer to be brought up again. That's just unimaginable, isn't it? That we have sinned against an infinite God. And he doesn't bring it up again. He forgives it. He wipes it away. But we really struggle with this, don't we? We really struggle. Would God really forgive me? Would God forgive me if he knew the things that I did? Or in our despair, we say, the blood of Christ really can't cleanse me of my sin. And we despair. Or we think somehow that God unhappily forgives us, that he grudgingly forgives us. That's just not true at all. God happily forgives us. He desires that we come to him and confess our sins. Remember that in Christ, God is your Father and he loves to forgive his children. He loves to. This parable that we've read shows us that there is no limit to God's forgiveness. As we've read, the debt is infinite. It's unpayable. There is nothing in the power of the debtor to pay. But God's scale of forgiveness is unimaginable. It is unearned. It is unmerited free grace in Christ. And it is more than you can ever imagine. And you will spend eternity learning how much he's forgiven you. And he doesn't just forgive sins, does he? He really forgives sins. He really forgives sins. His mercy surpasses our sins. His love triumphs over our sin and brings him all the more glory in our forgiveness. God is eager to forgive sins. Remember that. Remember that. And so, thirdly, live every day through forgiveness. Live every day through forgiveness. It is only through Jesus Christ that we have hope of a right relationship with God. It is only through his forgiveness. Unless Christ bore our debts, we would be hopeless, wouldn't we? We would be crushed under the unbearable weight of our sin. But in Christ, we're freed from that. We are freed from that weight. We are freed from that debt. And God's children are in a relationship with him. They are then in fellowship with God. And God's children should be sinless, right? God's children should be sinless. But we know that we're not. We continue to sin. We continue to fail God. We continue to be debtors to God. But if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for you. There is absolutely no condemnation. We do not come to a judge. We come to a heavenly Father. But the sins against God still disrupt the relationship that we have with our heavenly Father. And so our sins should grieve us because they grieve our heavenly Father. They are sins against Him. He has redeemed us. He has shown us immeasurable grace. He has given us His Holy Spirit. And so our sins are not only against God as our Creator, but it's against God as our Redeemer. And so our sins are really a double offense to Him. And so they should grieve us. And so we should daily go to Him for forgiveness. Daily seek His mercy and cling to Him alone for His mercy. We saw last week that we need to ask for daily bread because we're completely dependent on Him to provide the things we need. And here we see that we are to daily ask for forgiveness because we're completely dependent on His mercy alone. And so this is a prayer that we should continue to pray. We must continue to pray. And it requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us to accept that we bring nothing to God. That there's nothing in our hands that can help us pay this debt. That it's God alone, that it's God's mercy in Jesus Christ that we cling to. And there is great joy in forgiveness. There is great joy in having that burden that we carry so often on our shoulders. Psalm 32 that we read just earlier. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. There's only a few blessed in the Psalms, and this gets one of them. Blessed is the one whose sin is forgiven. It is a blessing to have the unbearable weight of our sin off our shoulders. The beginning of true happiness is to know that our sins are forgiven. And so live every day through forgiveness. Go to God every single day to that fount of mercy and forgiveness. And fourthly and finally, live forgiving others. Living every day through forgiveness means that you will also live every day forgiving others. As I said earlier, this is some of the strongest language in Scripture that we have. And we need to take it seriously. Forgiving others is not the cause of our forgiveness. Remember that. It is not the cause, but it is connected. It is connected. Jesus is saying, if this thing happens, this thing will happen also. If you are forgiven your sins, you will then forgive others. If you are forgiving others, it is a good sign that your sins are forgiven. They're so connected. They cannot be separated. If you are truly living daily in daily dependence on God's mercy alone, if you're relying on His mercy, that He will not hold your faults against you, then you have no right to hold other faults against you. You've given up that right. You may have many rights in life, and those are good rights. And it's good to protect those rights. But are rights the rule of your life? Or is forgiveness the rule of your life? Do you want God to treat you according to rights? Or according to mercy and forgiveness? So that should be the rule of our lives. We should live through forgiveness. Peter, in his classic way that he always has, comes into the situation in Matthew chapter 18, I think feeling pretty good about himself. He comes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? Now, in Jewish literature, the Jews thought three times was a good amount. If you forgave someone three times, you're doing pretty good. After that, whatever goes, you know? And so Peter comes up to Jesus. I'm going to say seven times. I'm going to go so far above and beyond. I'm just going to do, just going to blow Jesus' mind here with how forgiving I am. So he says, as many as seven times, Jesus? And Jesus' answer just shuts that down, doesn't it? He says, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Jesus' point here is that there's no limit to our forgiveness. There's no limit to God's forgiveness of us, and so there should be no limit to our forgiving others. There's no tally sheet here. There's no keeping track. If you're keeping track, you're not really forgiven. Our forgiveness should reflect God's forgiveness, and he does not keep track. He does not hold our sins against us. But in our hearts, we love to hold on to things, don't we? We love to hold on those cherished wounds that we have, that bitterness that we have. But if you're keeping track of those things, you're not really forgiven. And it's not so much about generosity to others. It is. It is about loving our neighbor. It is about forgiving our neighbor. But it's primarily about thankfulness to God. And it's important to remember that. It is about thankfulness to God. God has forgiven us far more debt than anybody could owe us. Our debt to others is nothing compared to our debt to God. And so that is a perspective. We're to see others wrong in light of our wrong to God. And in that light, what is it? It's nothing. When we have that gospel perspective, when we our hearts are truly thankful for all that God has forgiven us, the sins against us are just nothing. They're a drop in the bucket. Because we have been forgiven, we should be eager to forgive people who wrong us. Eager. Not grudgingly. We're to forgive our debtors, not just their debts. Sometimes I think we say, well, yeah, I forgive you what you've done, but I don't really forgive you as a person, personally. It's like that boy being forced to apologize on the playground. I'm sorry. But in his mind, I'm not sorry. I'm going to get you back. That's not how our forgiveness should be. It should be personal. It should be warm-hearted from the heart, from a heart that has been forgiven by God and eagerly done. Living day by day through forgiveness means that we recognize we all need to be forgiven. All of us need to be. George Herbert, the Christian poet, said this, "He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven, for everyone is in need to be forgiven." The one who does not forgive others breaks that same bridge that he has to cross to be forgiven. Don't break that bridge. Do not break that bridge. We are debtors, helpless here. But God delights, he delights to forgive us our sins. And so run to him. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ daily. Know that and experience the blessing that it is to have those debts lifted off, to have nothing that we can pay more to Jesus, to God, because Jesus Christ has paid that entire debt. Cling to Jesus Christ. He alone can enable us to pray this prayer. And so look to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and give you thanks that you are eager to forgive us our debts. And so we pray that we would know that great forgiveness and that we would be quick to forgive others. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.